Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Kiev, Ukraine, and came to America at age 16 in 1991. He cleaned toilets at McDonald's and earned a BA degree in business management from Cleary University. The founder and CEO of Gold Star Mortgage Financial Group, he's been recognized as the number one mortgage originator in America. The author of The ABC of Sales, his name, Dan Milstein, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Dan Milstein, the founder and CEO of Gold Star Mortgage Financial Group. Dan, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You grew up in Kiev, Ukraine. Talk to me about the biggest things that your parents taught you.
Well, my parents taught us, myself and my brother, to work hard, to be honest, to be persistent, and to never give up.
Great training. And you're 10 years old. You're living in Kiev, which is 68 miles north of Chernobyl. And April 26th, 1986 was quite a day. Talk about that day.
Jack, I'll never forget the day. I was only 10 years old. We did not find out about the Chernobyl until 2 weeks later. And what happened is the foreign media they caught the radiation levels up, and but Soviets kept it quiet. We had no idea what was happening. On May 1st, which is a Labor Day in the former USSR, they made hundreds of thousands of people to go and basically participate in activities in the main square. And we didn't find out until later. As a matter of fact, my grandfather was a dentist, but he was a trained doctor. He was one of the first medical personnel to treat the soldiers and people within the 30-mile radius. And unfortunately, he passed away a year later due to the radiation sickness.
As the people in Kiev started to realize what happened, what did they say? What did they do?
Well, at first, the Soviet government kept it quiet and they kept denying rumors. But by approximately May 15th or so, they could no longer do that. And what happened is at that point in time, the government decided to evacuate all the children, school age, to the Black Sea area. And I was going to be, at the age of 10, evacuated along with my brother, who was 3 years old at the time. But instead, my parents, and I'm forever grateful to them for this, they took extended time off, and they moved us to Moscow for 4 months in the summer of 1986.
Okay, let's jump ahead 6 years. December 4th, 1991. You got 17 cents, Danny, in your pocket. You got one suitcase loaded to the gills. And you come to America, to Ann Arbor. Talk about that day.
Well, I was looking forward coming to America for about 2 years. That's how long it took us to prepare and actually come to America. And it was a cold December 4th of 1991. Coming to America, not speaking the language, not having any friends or having anybody to turn to. The family of five came to Ann Arbor, and at first we lived in a subsidized housing in a one-bedroom apartment, and it was five of us. It was very difficult and challenging times, but I do believe that many successes I have had along the way is due to the fact that that I came here with absolutely nothing, and nothing was given to me.
Why Ann Arbor?
You know, we had distant relatives in Ann Arbor. Originally, my aunt lived in Chicago, but in order to move to Chicago from as an immigrant, we had to pay the entrance fee of $500 per person to the city, tax, if you will. And we did not have any money because we had to leave everything behind in the Soviet Union. As political refugees, we were only allowed to bring one suitcase per person, and my parents had $75. A friend of mine gave me 17 cents to mail him a letter back, and that's the only thing that we had at the time. So since we couldn't afford to pay $2,500 for five of us to move to Chicago, Ann Arbor was the cheapest, basically a free option. And so here we are.
You start to go to high school. You get a job at McDonald's cleaning toilets before school and after school. Talk about those days.
You know, Jack, I was fortunate that McDonald's Corporation gave me a chance. That I was so impressed that I actually painted the golden arches behind my bed in the subsidized apartments. And every job I've ever had, especially that first job at McDonald's, I took total pride in anything and everything I did. And I was up by 4 o'clock in the morning because my shift started at 5. I worked until 8 o'clock, and then I came back and finished my shift after high school. So between school and work, I was putting up as many as 20 hours a day.
Yours is a phenomenal story. You sit here 36 years old, 43 offices, 500-plus people. How did it happen, Dan?
Hard work, persistence. You know, every day I look in the mirror, and I keep asking myself, is this really me? Did it really happen to me? And then I remind myself that it's only possible in America. This is a truly phenomenal, wonderful country, and anything is possible with hard work.
All right, let's jump to 2000, and you start a company, Gold Star Mortgage Financial Group. Talk to us about Gold Star.
Well, Gold Star, the company, I founded the company to basically, I absolutely loved sales and absolutely loved banking industry and mortgages. I have had, prior to opening the doors at Gold Star, I have had jobs. I was an assistant consumer lending manager at TCF Bank. I was the youngest branch manager at Comerica Bank. And I was an underwriter at ABN AMRO Bank, which is now known as Bank of America. So I absolutely loved sales, loved mortgages. I did fail twice in mortgage sales in the past, in the mid-90s, but I've never looked back. And October 18th of 2000, I opened my first office with $3,000 in startup capital in an office that was previously used as a closet by its previous tenant. And so it's just me by myself with the phone and with a couple of desks that I got at the garage sale. And that's how company started. The mission was high volume at discount prices. We were basically helping one homeowner at a time.
We're talking to Dan Milstein, who a few weeks ago gave the commencement address at Clear University, his alma mater, and also he was awarded an honorary doctorate. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dan Milstein, the founder and CEO of Gold Star Mortgage Financial, which today consists of 500 people with 43 offices throughout America. Dan, what differentiates Gold Star?
Well, our mission is high volume at discount prices. It's all about the employee and the family atmosphere. You see, Jack, after I left my career working for three different banks, I gave myself a word that I would not be one of them, meaning I would not be the corporate America, in the sense that I run an open door policy. What that means is basically anybody within the company can walk in my door in my office at any point in time and talk to me about anything that they want to talk to me about. At the same time, any employee outside of the main office in Ann Arbor can call in and speak with me, regardless if you're a janitor or if you're the executive vice president. Everybody gets treated well, and the same applies to our not only to our employees but also to our customers as well. Gold Star has been ranked as the top workplace in Michigan for three consecutive years by the Detroit Free Press. It's very unusual, but at Gold Star we virtually have no turnover. Once you get a job at Gold Star, you work at Gold Star. We treat you like a family. You know, one of our my motto, if you will, is treat others the way you want to be treated.
Speaking of no turnover, let's go to 2007. And we experienced the worst financial meltdown in history. 60% of the mortgage competition went out of business. 94%, I believe, in Michigan went out of business. And you proclaim a statement that no matter what happens, no one would lose their jobs. No doubt people said, you're crazy. You can't do it. You did it.
Yes, I did. You know, people also thought that I was crazy when I declared that Gold Star would not be lending subprime mortgages. Fast forward 2007, it helped us. It was at that point in time, I was having a very good, successful career. By 2007, I was in the top five loan officer in the United States, and I built my company one person at a time. And I owed to my employees that statement, not only that statement, but also it had to be backed by the facts. And one of the things that I've told them is that we would not be participating in the world's recession. Everybody, let's get back to work, and this is our moment to shine. And so on a corporate level, we've cleaned our balance sheet, and we never stopped lending, unlike many other companies. And, you know, next thing you know, 2008 comes, and I look in the rearview mirror, and I see over 90% of my competition in Michigan is gone, 60% nationally, and Gold Star made the Inc. 500 list as one of the fastest-growing companies. And people that I couldn't pay $1 million sign-on bonuses to back in 2004, 2005 were lining out the door inquiring about any opportunities that we had for them. Actual funny story is one of my previous jobs was working at Interfirst, which was a division of ABN AMRO Bank, and 85% of my back office are my co-workers, if you will, back from the ABN AMRO days in the mid-90s, and my chief operating officer was over the operations at Interfirst, and my chief financial officer, I was in a similar position within ABN AMRO as well. And that's they obviously don't remember me because I was just a lonely underwriter, if you will. And now 85% of my back office, along with my senior executives, are all we all used to work at Interfirst, the ABN AMRO.
We're talking to Dan Milstein. Dan, when you walk into your corporate entrance in Ann Arbor, there's two signs outside. First sign says, quote, "Every great business is built on friendship." Second sign says, "Without the highest level of service, the lowest rates don't matter."
Well, it's the 24/7 rule that I have, and also in my book, one of the chapters is called "Lunches for Losers." Sales is not 9-to-5 job, and you have to be able and available to your clients for phone calls and meetings 24 hours around the day. In my personal office, I have a framed napkin. It's actually an application that I took at 2:15 in the morning from an airline pilot who had landed in Dallas, and he randomly called my number, and I answered. And I sold them a loan. And so we always put customers first, and we work around the clock to accommodate their schedules. To go to talk about lunches for losers, Jack, you know, when I keep telling my guys that there's nothing wrong with taking lunches, but during the lunch hour, the entire country is out to lunch too. And many people call to arrange for financing during the lunch breaks, and if you're not sitting by your phone, if you're not available, somebody else will, and it would be my competition. So we work. You have to be available to clients day or night. And personally, I haven't called in sick since 1998. That's when someone else signed my paycheck last time. Dead or alive, Jack, I'm there for my clients.
Most people would say that mortgage business, you don't have time to get friendships. You know, you just want to find this client, sign them up, go on to the next one. And this sign, "Every great business is built on friendship." How is that true in your business?
Well, you know, at this point in time, mortgage rates are extremely low. For example, 30-year mortgage rate is at 3.5% to 4%. 15-year rates are between 2.875 and 3.375, depending on the scenario. So at this point in time, it's a production line, if you will. But this is a short-term refinance boom kind of a opportunity for most mortgage companies out there. I keep preaching to my guys that you have to build relationships, because when rates go up to 6, 7, 8, 9%, very few companies, very few individuals would survive in the business. And it's all about relationships, because not only we're building our future for today, but also I'm concerned for my clients as well as my company 10, 15, 20 years from now. You know, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and hopefully at some point in time in the future, she would be an employee, and perhaps maybe someday she'll be managing and running Gold Star. And so I owe it not only to myself, but also to the future generations of Gold Stars and future generations of my clients. Jack, in some cases, I'm already up to the on to the third generation of my clients.
You wrote a book, the first book you wrote, The ABC of Sales. Why'd you write the book? And what's the basic message of that book, The ABC of Sales?
Well, the ABC of sales, the ABC stands for always be closing. I'll never forget the day in 2010. I was in a meeting, with my senior managers in my office, and I had gotten a call from the Scotsman's Guide that publishes the top 200 list of the mortgage professionals. And I received a call, and they congratulated me because I was ranked as the number one loan officer in the United States. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I went back into my office, finished the meeting, and checked off the number one loan officer off my bucket list, and next on my agenda was to write a book. So the ABC of sales is a basically this particular book. It's not just a sales book, because the subtitle is a How a Russian Immigrant with 17 cents in his pocket became one of the top mortgage bankers of all time. This is a hybrid, Jack. This book talks about my personal life, coming here with 17 cents in a pocket, the Chernobyl, working odd jobs, and then finally making it. As a matter of fact, I was a successful businessman when I had finally received my bachelor's degree from Cleary University over 10 years ago. And some section of the book talk about my sales skills and what I do. And then, of course, the end of the book, the last three chapters, is a Gold Star history, basically how we have managed during the financial meltdown and how we ended up being 42nd largest residential lender in the United States.
The ABC of sales, Brian Tracy, one of the most renowned sales trainers in America, says, quote, "This inspiring book not only tells an exciting tale of success and achievement, it also gives you the tools and strategies you need to achieve all these goals." Dan, you got 10 commandments in this book. And I believe the 8th commandment talks about take risk, be bold. That's one common theme that I've listened to as the guest over these 7 years. Talk to us about taking risks.
Well, you have to take a risk. If you don't take risks, you would be basically sitting in an office wishing that you had taken risks in the earlier days. Look, we all have stresses in our lives, you know, growing families, whatever the stress may be. And most people that I meet wish that they did something, whether open up a business or expanded their business or gotten a new jobs many years ago. But, you know, there are a lot of doers and a lot of talkers. And so in my particular case, I had no choice. You know, coming here broke, living in subsidized apartments, living off food stamps, there was no turning point. I only looked forward and looked ahead, and taking risks is absolutely a must.
We're talking to Dan Milstein, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dan Milstein, who's been recognized as the number one mortgage originator in the nation and has been among the top 40 finance professionals in America for each of the last 10 years. Dan, a recent blog back in September, you wrote, "Raising the Bar to Become a Sales Superstar," and you gave 13 keys. And one of them is raise the bar. I always say, in business today, the bar keeps getting raised. I don't have to raise it myself. I mean, the competition, the clients create this raising the bar. Talk to us about raising the bar.
You know, I'm one of those individuals. I never look back. I always look forward, and I constantly keep working on myself because I don't want, you know, over the years I've met quite a few successful people that have stopped learning and stopped raising their own bar, and they fall victim, if you will, to their own inability or unwillingness to improve themselves by not attending seminars, classes, by not reading or staying on top of things. And you have to have a goal. You have to have a business plan, if you will, a short-term plan that could be, you know, what am I going to do next week and next month, but also long-term goal, you know, 3, 5, 10-year plan. And my own 5 and 10-year plan has been written and rewritten and rewritten over and over again because I keep raising my the bar. I just absolutely love sales, any and all aspects of the sales, but I refuse to set a bar at certain level and then just try to reach it. You know, I constantly keep raising the bar.
The only constant in life today is change. For most people, change is great for others, but not for me. You relish change. You love change. Talk to us about embracing change.
you know, many people don't like change. They don't like to change things. They're complacent. They're happy where they are, and they live day to day, week by week, year to year. And but bottom line, sooner or later, you have to look ahead, and you have to be able to adapt with times. And I look back at 2007, 2008, 2009. My competition has gone out because they were blindsided, because financial meltdown. They had no idea how bad things would get. Whereas in my case, we predicted the financial meltdown back as early as 2001, and I can explain. What happened is, after the credit quality jobs that I have had with ABN AMRO, I got back into the origination side around 1999-2000, and I saw the big three guys, Chrysler, GM, and Ford, guys in line making between $130,000 to $500,000 or $300,000 a year while purchasing $300,000 to $700,000 homes. I knew this wasn't going to last forever, and so what I did is I took my company from a regional presence, primarily Michigan, onto the national level, because I just knew that it was not possible for the big three to continue paying outrageous wages to the guys that, without any formal education, working on the line. So when the financial market hit, we were doing business in over 15 different states, and currently Gold Star is operating in over 25 or 27 states at the time. So I would be lying to you, Jack, if I said I knew how bad things would get. I don't think nobody knew, but it was as clear as the day, as early as 2000, 2001, that this couldn't just go on forever.
June 2nd, 2012, you're awarded an honorary doctorate degree from your alma mater, Clary University, and you give the commencement speech. When you put your head on the pillow that night, Dan Milstein, what did you think?
You know, well, first of all, my mom always wanted her son to be a doctor, so she got what she wanted. I keep telling, you know, up until June 2nd of 2012, I just kept telling her, Mom, I can't afford the pay cut. You're not going to see a doctor. And, you know, but in all honesty, it was a great day. My parents were in the audience, obviously a lot of tears in their eyes because, look, coming here with no money, not knowing anybody, or and basically starting out with no money and one suitcase, and watch your kids graduate college and get honorary degree and be a successful businessman. It was a very emotional day for my parents. For me, I'm the same guy, you know, that I was before June 2nd, you know, humble. I don't take anything for granted. I remember sleepless nights and fear coming to America, and then also working late nights and sleeping on my couch in my office. And I owe this degree as well as the book to my parents, but also to my co-workers at Gold Star, all 500 of them. And as a matter of fact, Jack, we are hiring over 100 new jobs here in the Southeast Michigan in 2012. You know, I'm just very, very, very fortunate, and I'm thankful.
If you want to learn more, www.goldstarfinancial.com. Dan, during the speech, you said some things, and I quote, "As I travel around the country on speaking engagements, I often hear recent graduates and young professionals talk about some of the same things that worried me when I moved to America. They worry about getting a job, starting their own business. They say unemployment is too high, economic recessions, financial meltdowns, and many other reasons will pose challenges too difficult to overcome. I know how bleak the path ahead can be." And then, "But the bottom line is, you have to make your dreams come true. No one else is going to do it for you."
That is exactly right. And I wrote this piece from the bottom of my heart because nothing was given to me. And I had to work extremely hard to be where I'm at today. And my advice to young college graduates is to throw away the store-bought map and create your own path to success.
In that speech, you talk about a man, Amadeo Giannini. Can you tell us about that Amadeo Giannini?
Well, Amadeo Giannini lived in the early part of the 20th century in San Francisco. He opened up a place of business, a mini bank lending institution, in the place that was previously a saloon, a bar. And the great earthquake of 1906 happened, and Giannini set up a plank on two barrels on the corner of the intersection. And he was lending money to businesses for rebuilding right after the earthquake and great fires of 1906. And he was lending money based on a handshake. Little did anyone know that those deposits and loans would form basis for the Bank of America, one of the largest financial institutions in the world. And he did not invent commercial lending, but what Giannini did is he took a fresh perspective on an old idea. And when everybody pulled out and everybody said no, he was the first one to said yes, and he got the economy moving again.
You mentioned a fresh perspective, and a few minutes ago you talked about advice to these graduates to throw away the store-bought map and create your own pathway to achieve your dreams. What do you mean, the store-bought map?
Well, in school and then also at home, you know, parents teach kids to, you know, be a good citizen. For example, my own mom wanted me to be a doctor of some sort, have a 9-to-5 job, come home and relax and not worry about things that I worry. You know, when you run your own company with 500-plus employees, I don't sleep well at night sometimes. And, you know, instead of going to college and then getting into the medical field, I took a chance, and because I was passionate about sales, and I became a salesman. There's nothing wrong being a salesman, as you all know. And basically, I did not follow the, you know, certain footsteps, and I had to rewrite my own script. What works for me, Jack, would not work for you or for somebody else.
How does a young person figure out what his or her role life is in life?
You know, you don't. There's very, very little learning in success. You have to learn from your failure and from failure of many other people. And that's what I did. I learned by default, and I've made mistakes, but also I've learned from other people as well. I've had a lot of mentors along the way. I just made myself a better person. One of the managers in the past once said, if you don't make mistakes, that means you're not writing new business.
And hopefully you don't keep making the same mistake.
No, you never make the same mistake twice.
But as you get bigger, the mistakes just have more zeros on the ends.
That's exactly right.
We're talking to Dan Milstein, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dan Milstein, the founder and CEO of Gold Star Mortgage Financial Group, which today consists of 500 people with 43 offices throughout America. Dan, you're still 36 years old. What dreams or goals do you still have?
My bucket list keeps getting bigger and bigger. You know, successful people, they don't look back. And quite honestly, I don't consider myself a successful person. Many other people do, but to me, I'm trying to reach bigger moons and bigger stars, I don't just sit on my rear end and enjoy the glories. I keep telling people, you know, and especially people coming to my office, my employees and customers, they see all the awards and plaques on the walls within Gold Star. They read about me in the newspapers and on the internet, and I thank them, but I tell them that my story, much like Gold Star's story, is still being written, and the day I hang my skates and move all of the awards into my house is the day I am going to accept everything that I have worked so hard for. At this point in time, I'm on a mission. I'm on to the next thing.
Success is a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely, Jack.
One of the many things I admire you about, Dan Milstein, is that you've remained very grateful. And you can't be grateful without being humble. Talk to us about being grateful.
Well, I'm grateful to a lot of people that have helped me over the years, you know, starting with mentors, or as a matter of fact, in 1991, coming to America, we had some community activists that helped us to get our first apartment. helped us to get settled in. Somebody gave my parents, my father, my mom, myself, an opportunity for jobs, whether it was at working at McDonald's or at some plastics factory. I am just grateful to a lot of people that didn't look at us as the second-class citizens coming to America and being just some foreigners who did not speak English. I mean, there were a lot of people that helped us along the way, and in getting into the business world, and I have had a lot of mentors and a lot of people that believed in me, including some of my closest friends. And being here today, I'm just grateful for my parents, first and foremost. My brother, you know, I have a 9-year-old beautiful daughter, and she enjoys every moment playing in a large yard away from the crowded city street. And, you know, I just every day I look in the mirror, and I still can't believe that I'm here in the United States, and I was given this wonderful opportunity to be somebody someday.
We're talking to Dan Milstein, the author of The ABC of Sales. So many of us, Dan, in America, take so much for granted because greatest nation in the world, that's all we've seen. Tell us how great America is.
You know, a lot of Americans take things for granted. For example, you know, my first job at McDonald's, I took pride cleaning those bathrooms and toilets, and I was promoted quite fast at McDonald's. But back then, in 1992, 1993, there were quite a few store employees that were going places, or at least they thought that they were going places. They were complaining about the work work hours and just the fact that they were working at McDonald's, and they were dreaming about doing something, but they were just talkers, not doers. So going back to the same restaurant 19 years later, I still see the same people working the grill as they did back in the early 90s, and probably are still complaining, and they're just not doing anything to improve themselves. For me, coming here without money, without friends, not speaking the language, there was no stepping back. I mean, I was working extremely hard, and I was grateful for for America. And America is by far the best country in the world. And Jack, I have traveled throughout the world. I've been virtually everywhere, and I keep coming back. And Ann Arbor is my home base, and I absolutely love Michigan.
Ross Perot used to say that it's a funny thing about people. Very often when they get successful, they quit doing the very thing that made them successful. It's very hard to get to be the best. Much harder to stay the best. Talk about staying at the top.
You know, it is difficult, but I don't look at this. You know, I don't have an ego. You know, at Gold Star, egos are checked at the door. It's just I come in, and I do my absolute best because I have my clients and my employees in mind. Everything we do, before management makes any decisions, we look at different options and how it impact my clients, but also how it would impact our employees as well. And so we do what's right for our employees and our customers. And in the end, to be on top, you just have to, you know, I don't look at each potential client as an opportunity to make a dollar. Money would come. You absolutely have to love what you do. And one of the things I keep telling people is that if you love what you do, you'll never work another day in your life, Jack.
The first book, ABC of Sales, has been bestseller. A second book is coming out this August, entitled Becoming a Sales Force. Tell us about that book.
Well, the second book, we're still working on the name, but Becoming a Sales Force is in the leading right now, if you will. This would be the second book is about pure sales. I have not only used my own sales techniques and beliefs in this book, but also we've reached out to many sales professionals across all industries and gotten their advice. And the second book is a guide to sales professionals to be better at and to improve their own sales abilities, techniques, and be better, the best that they can be.
We've all marveled about Pavel Datsyuk and his talent. You're one of his best friends, if not his best friend. Tell us about Pavel Datsyuk.
Pavel is a very, very good guy. He is one of the closest friends I have. We spend a lot of time together. I am his number one consultant, as well as he's my number one consultant, too. It's a bummer that I don't skate as good as him. So I've settled for a mortgage job. Pavel is just a great person. He reads a lot. Sometimes he would call me up and ask me for a business advice, and I'd be like, you're a hockey player. How do you know all this? I mean, he's just a very, very very smart, very, very humble guy. You never hear a bad thing about him. He's probably the hardest working member of the Red Wings organization. He is, but as a friend, he's extremely loyal. And I knew that we would be the best friends during the Stanley Cup 2002 playoff run, when they actually did win the cup. I got in a car accident. It was in between the games. He found out that I was in the ER, and he dropped what he was doing, and he drove and spent the entire day with me, sitting by my side at the ER in Ann Arbor.
He's legendary. He's a magician with the stick. His hands are unbelievable. Have you seen any times where he's done things with his hands that just you marvel at?
You know, we have one rule. We don't talk about hockey or mortgages. I'm joking, Jack. But I have yet to win a single sport. You know, whether we would be playing tennis or swimming or playing soccer, no matter what sport it is that I'm trying to play against him, I have yet to win a single game. He would basically let me come very, very close, but he would just come from behind and he would steal the victory from me. So he's just a very, very good guy.
As our time winds down together this evening, can you give some advice to our young listeners this evening?
Well, Colin Powell once said, "There are no secrets to success. It is the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure." Another thing I can say is that experience is always the hardest teacher, because it gives the exam first and then teaches the lesson. So don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, throw away the store-bought map, create your own destiny. And if you want to open up a business, or if you want to become a senator, go and try it now. Abraham Lincoln has had numerous business failures. He lost 7 different elections. He barely got 100 votes for his quest in the vice presidential nomination, finally being elected the 16th president of the United States. So you have to try. You know, Thomas Edison is another great example. He was told by his teachers that he was too stupid to learn anything, and his ideas was too impractical. And of course, his ideas illuminated the world. So just basically follow your dreams and be the best that you can be. And don't blame the economy, the recessions, the unemployment. If you have a dream, follow your dreams, and you would be rewarded.
Dan Milstein, you're a modern-day Horatio Alger story. Keep up the great, great work.
Jack, thank you very much.
Honored to have you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn. Believe in yourself.